I'm Beth, because y'all are family, right? Right. So how close were you paying attention before? The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Now, we got the old school funk going on up here a little while ago, right? But there is a new school funk song, too, that I was referring to. So Uptown Funk You Up, Uptown Funk You Up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. So my challenge to you today is, you know, I'm not going to apologize because this is God's message, but you will probably get rubbed the wrong way sometime in this message. But it's a challenge because we're all a rock that's jagged and has these pointy things. And, you know, the Holy Spirit just kind of needs to sand a little bit here and there and take care of some of our rough edges. And I think you guys have listened to enough speakers to know who's the first person that's getting preached to anytime that there's a message given. The speaker. Right. So what I'm talking to you about is what I have been dealing with too. Mercy. Let's look at Romans 12:1. I don't care who gets to it. When you have it, let me know. There are different versions. I think the New American Standard version actually states the word mercy. It's okay that we don't have that.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
So Debbie Andrews got the second half of that sentence, and she's already spoken on that. I got the first half dealing with mercy. What is mercy? Well, I'm an Appalachian woman, and here's how we would say it. You deserved a spanking that you didn't get. So you did something wrong, inappropriate, against the law, and you deserved a consequence. But somebody stepped in and took it for you. In our case, that's Jesus. Let's go to the next one. And I think I'm ready for, I'll talk about this. This is our business card for our church. Kelly, stand up. This is Pastor Kelly. He's my husband. I can't not go to church because it's in my house. So every Sunday we get to get up early and we get to clean house before we have church. But it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing. And don't think that I'm any different in here than I'm in my own church. I've got my flags. I wave them around. My husband usually has a message to share. We have a really nice TV, and we even got a better one because my husband said the church needed a better one. And football games look pretty good on it, too. So he
did not use church funds.
Oh, we did not use church funds, the disclaimer. So we play praise and worship music and sing along to a lot of YouTube videos. You know, you've probably seen them where they have the words along with the music and we just sing along. There's all sorts of ways to worship God. So we have an upstairs, it's a vaulted ceiling, and there's this landing. And I used to stay downstairs and worship kind of back in the dining room. And my husband said, people can't see you. Go up there on the landing where everybody can see you. And so, you know, there's, what are those, grommets? Is that what those round things are on the flags? So I get a little aggressive, and there are grommet marks on my banister and grommet marks on my ceiling and grommet marks on my walls, but it's all for the glory of God, isn't it? So we are a husband and wife who host house church, and if you're part of my church, you don't get to take a back seat. If you don't want included, you just don't come. because if you come, it's a very intimate setting. We might have 3 of us. We might have 26 of us. But usually there is some sort of sharing that my husband has a theme that he goes through. He's very led by the Holy Spirit and lets us all take a turn. So, you know, just because he's the head, he knows that there are spiritual giftings in all of us. And I walk around because I'm a teacher. And that's okay. It kind of puts you outside of your comfort zone, doesn't it? So when I approach you and you're like, why are you looking at me? Right? So when you're part of our church, I ask very probing questions. And Dominique understands very probing questions, right? Because it's a training and it's also a gift of God, isn't it? When you're a trained therapist or a school counselor, you ask clarifying questions. You guys might think they're probing. We call them clarifying questions. So when Brother Bob was up here and he says, that's good, and he complains about somebody saying the movie was good, and then he goes to it and thinks it was bad, we would have said, well, what do you find good about that movie? And if they say, oh, it had so much action and so much killing and so much, and you're like, that's not good. So you wouldn't go to it. So clarifying questions can be helpful. So if you're part of my church, and if you have been around me here at all, right, I get to know you. And if you don't want me to get to know you, then you probably just ran in the other direction. But I don't know. If you ran, I didn't know it. Because something that's been given to me, next slide, please, is a heritage from my mama and Papa Wolf. People know us. We are not perfect. My parents aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. Praise God, I don't have to be perfect. But they have given me a rich heritage, and the best thing that they ever taught me was to love people. And if you can love and encourage your own family when you know that there is still irritation, when you have a disagreement, when they have done the same thing for the 50th time and you've had to help them out of that situation and you still go for the 51st time, that's love. There should have been 13 of us up here. There are 10. We're missing my redeemed brother, Michael, Sabe's husband, and my mom and dad. I specifically asked them. And, you know, I've learned to not be disappointed. You have to do what the Holy Spirit has told you to do in asking and let the Holy Spirit work on them. And you know what? It's okay that they're not here. God will give them another chance to pour in. And in this case, God said, hey, let's do this electronically. So I asked my mom and dad and my brother Mike to speak a blessing over the people of Ketchikan. And my dad says, I don't do that. And my mom says, what do I say? And so I went to her and I helped her write something down and then she read it. And my brother Mike says, sure, I'll do that. When are you coming over? So he ended up coming to my house and I recorded him there. Oh, you should have seen him. He was like shaken, totally. But you know what he did? I think he studied for like a whole day before. He had his little notebook, and this is so his wife. This is not him. He had his little notebook and his pen, and he had this little bookmarker. And he's got 3 minutes of blessing that I'll play at the end. But for right now, I usually pray over the beginning of a workshop, and I'm going to let my mama open it.
Yep. Catch a tan. Start all over. Ketchikan blessing, Mama Ida Wolf, September 11th, 2015. Thank you for the opportunity to come to Ketchikan and be able to say what I need to say at this time. My daughter Mary Beth has asked me to come and pronounce a blessing over you folks here. It's a great blessing for me to do this. Jesus, our greatest blessing, has blessed you all, or you will not even be here, and that's why I feel privileged to say a blessing over you. I have an anointing to hear the Holy Spirit, and I pray, God, that you will also. Lord, bless you with eyes to see, ears to hear, and the inner voice to lead you. And now I bless each and every one of you in the name of Jesus that you receive what the Lord has for you, and that you are able to go and help others also. And I thank our God in the name of Jesus. So be it.
And if she were here, she would love you just like you were one of us. She would sit down beside you and talk to you and listen to your stories and cry with you and ask you questions about your kids and hug you and hold your hand. And you know what? Even though Dad doesn't speak blessings, he is. He walks around and does the exact same thing. So I have a rich spiritual heritage, and I'm very proud to be the youngest Wolf daughter. My sister Dee and my adopted sister Sabe and I study a lot. You know, Dee held up her notebook, and you'd see Sabe's notebooks lay all over her lap. And we prepare, but what we are practicing is being led by the Holy Spirit. So what is it you need to hear from us? What experience have we had in our lifetime, recent or in years past, that will help you further your walk, that will better make you equipped to be a kingdom member? Next slide. That's me. And I'll describe for the people in electronic land listening later. This is a woman standing in a kitchen stirring something on a stove. She is wearing a long denim dress, a wool sweater. Her hair is pulled up in a bun, and she's got white kids on. That's all my clothes. I might look at this woman on the street and think, oh, she is that kind. I'm going over here. Because she's that kind. And she's already got it together, or she is so far from it, whatever you are judging her about, that you would not take time out to talk to that woman. The next couple of slides are pretty much the same thing, but maybe a little more close up, so you can click ahead to those. And what the real funny thing is that I'm cooking, but I'm not cooking, because I really don't cook much anymore. I know how to cook, but this is staged. Now, why am I showing you videos? I mean, pictures and playing audio. I had a vision several years ago as part of our ladies group, or I saw myself speaking to a group of people, and I was changing all these costumes, and it was going to be a representation to the people who were listening to challenge them to get outside of their comfort zone to see how would they react if I looked differently. Because you've seen me around here. You know, I look like you. I act like you. I'm part of you. But what if I didn't look like you? I can't really do the act like you from the pictures. But what is it about her that would challenge you to ignore her? Next slide. Oh. That is my coat. My husband bought me that coat. It is not real. So for electronic land, I have this almost ankle-length floor fur coat, faux fur, and I'm standing in front of my daughter's car, and I have, zoom in to the, you can go to the next one. And I really blinged up. I've got my big sunglasses, I've got lots of jewelry on, and I look like I'm having a really good time, don't I? Yeah. So if you saw this woman, what would you do? Would you approach her? Would you ignore her? Is there something about her that makes you say, she wouldn't give me the time of day. Why would she want to hear about Jesus from me? She has it all together. Look at her. She is so happy. She doesn't need me. She doesn't need me to tell her about Jesus. Next slide. Okay. These have all been my clothes, even these. Now, this shirt I actually bought at a yard sale on purpose for this talk to be a challenge. So the next picture will zoom in a little bit. I don't know if you can see what's going on there, but I do have a cigarette and a lighter in my hand. And what else do I have in my hand? I have a beer bottle. Now, why would I show you a picture of that? I still look like I'm having a good time, don't I? If you saw this woman with tattoos all the way up her arms, with lipstick and eyeliner out to here, what would you do? Could you approach this woman? Could you share the love of Jesus with this woman? Honestly, I would be even intimidated, depending on what day it was. Next slide. Yeah, those fake tattoos are interesting, aren't they? So for electronic land, this is a woman with long hair and a headband and really rich lips and really dark eyes and tats all the way down her arms and really skinny pants and high-heeled shoes and a cigarette and a beer bottle. You can close that down for a little while. So when I was preparing for this talk, I was thinking about how to ship up all of these clothes to change and how to be modest about it. And I really couldn't figure out a way how to be modest about changing up here and still giving my talk. So my daughter says, why don't you just take pictures? Oh, that's a good idea. So in about 10 minutes, I got all dressed up and we took pictures. And it still represents the same thing. There are people in your life. There are young people that sometimes it's hard for us to understand because things are so different. Somebody approached me after my first blurb about my message and said, I just really appreciated that you did something that would bridge the gap between the older generation and the younger generation. Because you don't have to know all about them. But if you show interest in them and what they like, and it might not be appropriate that's feeding them life, if you just show interest, you can create a relationship. You can plant a seed. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not Jesus Christ. I am a child of God that is one of billions on this earth that can minister to others. And sometimes it takes 10 or 12 witnesses to get a person to where they say, oh, this Jesus person. Who is this Jesus person? I'd really like to know about this Jesus person. And you might be person number two. You might be person number five that's rejected, and person number seven actually gets a question. But plant that seed. Water that plant. Somebody will get the harvest. Today, we will define mercy, we will state examples of mercy, and we will demonstrate mercy. You have a list of questions there that I will have you ponder at the end. I'm looking at the notes page. Mercy is compassion or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or another person. I have to admit, I don't always show mercy. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes it was a long day. Sometimes I have a lot to do, and you got in my face, and I just bit your head off. Yeah. I have to apologize sometimes even to my daughter. My husband just says, why are you yelling at me? And am I really yelling? Am I really yelling? No, but I do have a louder voice. And you know the difference of especially the people that you're around most. My cat even knows. So when I'm aggravated and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm really fired up about something and I'm usually just griping, he sits beside me and goes, meow. Mama's not happy. So that's a, oh dear. Check your attitude, you know, one of those. Come on, don't you guys just sometimes gripe? Yeah? What's it do for you? Well, if you vomit it out, it helps you get it out. And then if you leave it there and keep going, it can kind of be therapeutic. But if all you do is chew on those nasty words, what you eat is what you are. What you behold and spend all your time at, what you worship is what you become. So if all you do is worship the negative, wow. Blessings that you get hooked up with somebody that speaks life. Let's flip over to the back of the notes page. I asked the Lord what to put on my notes page, and, you know, every part of this notes page is not for every person. But on the back where it says recent spiritual meals, there's some thoughts that I found interesting. And sometimes I don't always understand them or agree with them. But I give you an idea of what I have been feasting on as far as God-wise. So if you attended one of my previous workshops, you would get a different set of recent spiritual meals. But let's look at a couple of these. What have I been chewing on? What do I think is different? Let's come down to the bottom one where it says Christine Kane. So I often, I have a really long drive to work. I love my job. This is the second year in my new job. I drive 41 miles one way. And some of you who live outside of Ketchikan often drive that far or ferry that far. Understand. So I feed myself through podcasts, through worship songs. Sometimes I make phone calls. So it's still a good time, and it's a very good time with the Lord. So Christine Kane, I was listening to the Bethel Sermon of the Week, and she was speaking at Bethel Church on August 9th. As Christians, we ought to be lostologists. It is amazing in the Gospels that you will learn what the Bible tells as worldly. Nowhere does it talk about where the rips are in your jeans, and then she kind of has a side, knock yourself out, where your tattoos are, but gossip, and then she has another aside, it's interesting, slander, gluttony, envy, guile, greed, lust, unforgiveness, bitterness, offense, adultery, fornication, immorality. See? That's in there. Ripped jeans, hair length, makeup. Ugh, no. Scott McKnight is an author that I read. He is a New Testament scholar through and through. He wrote a book called The Blue Parakeet that I just thought was very mind-expanding. And he honored women. And he had a whole chapter in there that stated why women have purpose in the church. And I felt that very respectful and honoring. I grew up in a church where women had one place. Yes. Or in the kitchen, cooking. Well, I guess that's two places. Something about eating and raising kids. But it was very fulfilling to me because I have always bucked. You can't do that. You're a woman. And it wasn't just me, it was people older than me that I would notice the gifts on, and they were so restricted. Men and women both have gifts. They should be walking in unity. A husband and wife, for sure. If you don't have a husband, then have a covering. Be in submission to someone that's appropriate. A father, a brother, a church brother. It can only get better if you allow women their rightful place. Nancy has lots of men come in. I was asked, is that just a woman's conference? James, is it just a woman's conference? Okay. Could you defend that? Yes, the majority of women. I am so encouraged to see so many men here, so many spouses or parents and children. It is such a blessing. But women have gifts that they need to use. Men have gifts that they need to use. Teenagers have gifts that they need to use. I just walked up to my brother. This is fictitious. I didn't really do this. And I know something about him, and I said something over him that was fleshy and totally wrong. And he went to somebody else to try and get it confirmed, and he found out that it was totally wrong. Now, I would hope that he would come back to me and say, let's talk about that. But me as a person trying to walk in the prophetic, trying to test my gifts, I have tried to speak into his life and somehow, and it didn't come out right. Remember, this is fictitious. This is saying I'm a young Christian and I'm getting my training wheels and trying some things out. As a mature person who has seen this, or as a believer who has gone to somebody, some other mature Christian, that person needs a correction. Yes? But that doesn't mean they need squashed. God's mercies are new every morning. And if we all grew up doctors, as in we came out of the womb and boom, we had all the knowledge and the skills of being a doctor, then maybe we could, but we don't. We had to practice along the way. We had to learn. We had to make mistakes. And that includes being part of the church. And so what has to happen is if you're the person giving the inappropriate word, yes, you need correction. And by the mercies of God, you'll get another chance. And so what would really need to happen is that that person who is trying out riding their spiritual prophetic bicycle with their training wheels on, they need a spiritual mother or father behind them, kind of helping them through to correct them. Yes? Yes. But they're going to wreck. And they're going to make boo-boos. So you go and you apologize, but you keep trying. Well, I tried that and it just didn't work. Or somebody said that it was all wrong. Or they just beat me down and said that I couldn't do it. Well, I'm encouraging you just to get right back up. Because you know what? I've messed up. But my sisters have been gracious. My husband and my brothers and my sister-in-law and my daughter have been gracious. They have shown me mercy because I am not perfect. There are some things I just got totally wrong. Beth, I believe that's fleshy and you're walking in your own self. Most of the time they don't say it that way. Let's pray about that. Let's talk to somebody about that. Is that really what you're seeing? Is that really what you think we should be doing? Is that really how you see the family should be going? Is that the move that we should be making? Is that the church that we need to go to minister to? Can I do it? Is there a different way that we can try and reach the same group of people or have the same outcome and do it a little bit different? Wise counsel. Yeah? How long have I been talking? 2 minutes? 30 minutes, okay. I love Evelyn. How many of you love Evelyn? She sang a Miley Cyrus song in Jackson, Ohio, as part of her workshop, something about a mountain, climbing a mountain. And I never would have downloaded a Miley Cyrus song, but I downloaded that because Evelyn sang it. And I was blessed by it. How many of you pop in a tape and drive in your car, just belt out the songs, just like it was you and the Lord? Yeah? Come on now. Come on now. Okay. CDs. Oh, what did I say? Tapes. Well, I guess I am old, huh? I don't even listen to tapes. I have my phone plugged in. Keep going. Okay. And it feels good, doesn't it? To sing those words of life, to belt it out, to kind of make fun of yourself, especially when you're stopping at a stoplight and the people that are looking at you, you just kind of want them to look at you. Like, what's up with that? And singing isn't everybody's primary gift. God requires obedience. And every obedience requires sacrifice. And a lot of times that's sacrifice of self. So when the educated sister, who hasn't walked in any artistic gifts, gets the prompting to sing, and the artistic sister who gets the prompting to write a book, or my very articulate sister who gets the command, quiet down, that's kind of a sacrifice. So I'm going to sing you a song. It's on the back. This is based off of the Hallelujah song, originally written by Leonard Cohen, and inspired most recently by Cloverton. This is a song about my family, kind of about our walk, our loss, our mess-ups, our striving, and us still having purpose. Please feel free to sing along the chorus. I've heard about a true family who's come to love unconditionally, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah. Now everybody. Hallelujah. 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 A couple came to know the Lord, expecting six who now are four, and find their faults are there for all to see. There was still hope because of faith, so in our Lord our presence make. God's love will show to all, oh hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you came so we could be your salt and light for all to see, a world, a kingdom waiting all for you. We stand as one, united here, with the one, have ears to hear. We honor you and cry out hallelujah. 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 A humble servant heart there is in us all, so we can give and share the gifts he's given you and me. When love's pursued, the others come from the Spirit, lacking none. He freely gives out favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mercy, grace, humility, and don't give up now. Sisters and brother. Yes, we are now four. Sorry, it doesn't rhyme anymore. Three. Obedient, we answer to your call. Just tell us where there is a need. As gardeners, we plant your seed and cultivate your kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Greatest, least, it matters not, respecting all as we are taught. Holy Spirit, life's potential we declare. This is the play on, this is a war cry, right? Yeah?
Right.
War cry. All of our workshops have been titled War Cry. A call to arms, we answer true. Linked in prayer, we battle through. Life's struggles overcome. Oh, hallelujah. 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 To the fivefold we submit, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet, Ephesians personified. In our weakness you are strong, together we will serve you long to make heaven on earth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am blessed that my mom wanted to have six children. I want you to come up here, the whole Wolf team. I think Dawn's downstairs. That's okay. This is my husband, Kelly, my pastor. This is my brother, Dave. You heard him speak on Don't Give Up. This is my daughter, Zoe, who all of us have raised. This is my brother, Tim, his lovely wife, Robbie. This is my sister, Dee, and this is my adopted sister, Sabe. have sat down with some people at conference who say, I am so alone. I just lost my spiritual mother or father. I just lost my mate. I just lost my child. I'm in Ketchikan or I'm in blank, and there's nobody around who understands what I'm going through. People just moved away. I know God called me here. I'm supposed to be here. Not that they're walking out of the will, but they still feel isolated. I don't know what that feels like. I have always lived in West Virginia near my family. My brother has lived in Texas. I got to spend two wonderful summers when I was a teenager with him. Do you know what I learned about him? He loves people. He's a hard worker. He raised two wonderful sons, and this man can pray. My sister Dee lived in Iowa for a while by herself. They both get it to rely on others. I used to get mad at them because I never got a vacation. All I got was going to visit them. I am 43 years old and I just now understand. Who cares that I didn't get a vacation? Because they were alone. They didn't have anybody. And so when mom and dad went, the young teenagers had to go too. Our family's lost two brothers. Addiction, depression, poor life choices, suicide. But I have one redeemed, and I'm going to have another one. I mean a real, true brother. The brother that's going to speak a blessing over you here in a little bit. That's my brother Michael. We all went through phases of misbehaving, didn't we? Some of us longer than others. Some of us still need junk cleaned out of our closets. Can I hear an amen from everybody?
Amen.
Amen. Those that know us best know our junk most intimately. We've blown each other's noses and wiped each other's backsides and picked up each other's vomits, you know. Sometimes literally. But Michael is a changed man, and he is a powerhouse for the Lord. And I have worked on him for years to stretch him to find his voice. And Sabe had to back up, and Michael stepped up. Yes. How many of you were in my workshop last year here? You heard me talk about my brother who had an anointing who wasn't walking in it. That's this one. I wish God didn't, I don't want to say it the wrong way. He's awakened now. His three sons have yet to figure that out, but they will. Amen? Amen. I love my sister-in-law. I don't get to spend as much time with her as I'd like. I stop by and see him every now and then. But she has raised two wonderful daughters who are Christian young girls raising Christian children now. And she did that a lot on her own. I honor her for being such a steadfast, strong woman. We serve the Lord. We did some misbehave. I'm by my husband, Kelly, for those people in electronic land. We serve the Lord. We misbehave a little bit. One of us would walk forward. One of us wouldn't be as far ahead. But we are equally yoked now. My husband is my head. And I so appreciate that he asks me and takes my counsel. But there are some things that he just says, this is the way it's going to be. Now, that doesn't happen very often. But that's the way it should be. We have really stepped outside of our comfort zone with inviting everyone into our house every Sunday. And it's a blessing and a burden both. And those of you who are walking in ministry understand. Sabe, sometimes when you don't even want to get up and come to church, what do?
I come to church because there are people who need what's in me. It's not always all about me. It's about them too.
So even though you don't feel like having church, if you go, you can't help but function. There is something in you that somebody needs, even in your weakness. God helps you to be strong. I pretty much gave up getting pregnant. I was taking my temperature. I don't want to describe all the rest of the stuff. But I wasn't conceiving, and I finally just said, okay, I'm disappointed, but God will work something out. And Dave, why do I have a Zoe?
She is a gift from God to all of us. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. She went and prayed over Mary Beth's bed. My mother did. It's like I said earlier in Sarah's class on worship. Sarah must be downstairs. Thank God for praying mothers and praying wives.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that he has more testimonies and he doesn't remember repeating mine, you know? That's okay. Zoe's father was a school teacher. He's retired now, and so even before I had Zoe, I would practice. It's okay for me to have an average child. It's okay for me to have an average child. I didn't want to, as a teacher, overburden her with expectations. Oh, she's way more than average. If you haven't talked with her, do. She is gifted artistically. Her father is too. And, you know, some of us in our family are gifted in that area too. Music, drawing. She's into photography even. I'm looking at Becky. Aren't our children our pride and joy? And I almost asked James at the end of his session, James, what do you do when Nancy looks at you and says that you're going to be a judge? How do you reconcile, I'm where I am now, and that's my destiny?
I think you just keep moving forward. You try to follow. I think you try to follow where God's leading you, and you try to continue to do what you're doing as well as you can. Just keep building that foundation. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's hard for me to conceive of that this early. I've only been an attorney really practicing for less than 2 years. So while it's going well, it's not exactly the person you think, hey, yeah, you're going to be a judge, at least not this early.
Is it scary?
I don't think it's scary. I think it's just
overwhelming,
indeterminate. It's just something that's, to me, is far out in the ether at this point, and I have so many other things in front of me.
So while Becky is the aunt, is Liz even in here?
She's at the other.
Okay. So you got to be the step-in mom when I looked at you and asked James his question. I'm sure you're just as proud of him, too. Yeah. So Zoe has all these words spoken over her of having the heritage of my grandmother, her grandmother, my mother, and me, and all these other things. And what do we do to cultivate that? I mean, how do we not overwhelm her? How do we encourage and stir up the gifts that are in her? And you know what? You guys have done that. You're here. You're supporting us. We have all done that. When I say they all raised her, it's true. They all did. Okay, y'all can sit down if you want. Thank you. I think that's just trying to say, I am not me in and of myself. I have the support of all these loving people. And sometimes I even get a spanking. Literally. I have a lot more scriptures. Feel free to read through them. My passion is to love people, to let them know that they have gifts, that they should be using them. If you aren't using your gifts, you're being stingy. You are part of the kingdom of God. You do have giftings in all of the fivefold. You usually have a strength. Patty's downstairs talking about gifts right now. Listen to it online. It's excellent. You're not a nobody. So that's a double negative. So that means you are a somebody. And sometimes you're the most important somebody in that person's life that day. Because they just threw a fleece out for God that says, if this doesn't happen this day, if you don't bring this special circumstance into my life, then I don't want to be here anymore. So don't think it's silly. If you think it's silly, call up your, good Christian friends and say, this is what I just got a prompting. Talk it out. God loves us. God grants us mercy. We should grant ourselves mercy. We should grant mercy to others. But what the focus was on this time was not just grant mercy to other people, but to step outside of your comfort zone to go to those people to increase the kingdom. Even if you think that they got it all together or they don't have it at all and that they will reject you, it doesn't matter. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. Go lovingly. Plant a seed. It doesn't have to be a half-hour conversation. It could be one sentence. And it could start with, I see you're having a rough day. And when you start those questions, they just keep coming, don't they? And that's okay. I'm a school counselor by trade. I have lots of things to do during the day, but when there is a student or a faculty member, or an administrator in need, what happens to all my emails and all my stuff that's on my desk? It gets set aside. They come in. I walk around my desk and sit down beside them in the chair so that it's a more intimate setting, and I listen to them. Don't I still have all that work? Yep. That's okay. Because who's the most important thing? People. Love thy God and love thy neighbor. How many of you have a picture of your enemy in your wallet? My brother raised his hand. Do they not deserve our prayer and encouragement too? How many of you have pictures of your family in your wallet or on your phone and you think that they're your enemy? Don't they deserve your prayer and encouragement too? How about that congressman or woman or the president or, my goodness, just that policeman who stands on the street and stops me or drives up behind me in the car and stops me because I'm going 10 miles per hour over the speed limit? I got pulled over once because my inspection sticker was run out. And I had just talked with my dad about it because he pointed it out. And I was going to go on Monday, and this was a Sunday, and I get pulled over. Ma'am, don't you know that your inspection sticker is run out? Don't you know that that's a bad thing and that for the protection of your children that you should have your car inspected annually? You know it is the law, you know, one of those. I thought, oh, dear God, and I was so befuddled I couldn't find all my information. So he says, here's your ticket. Take it down to the judge. So I walk up to the female judge and I say, this doesn't happen to me. I am here for a purpose. Do you need me to pray for you? Why, yes, I do. My son is going through blah, 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 and would you hold him up in prayer? Oh, by the way, here's my proof of insurance. Could you sign off on my ticket? Amen. Okay, I think I'm ready for my brother Mike. How about the last slide? My brother looks at this picture and says, who's that fat man? So that number 43, that's Dave. 280? Yeah. So Dave and Val are on the right. They're here with us in Ketchikan. Kelly and I are in the middle, and over on the left is Sabe and her husband, Michael. And this was when Dave lived in Pennsylvania. He just has recently moved and waiting to get in his new house. He's living with our sister Dee right now. But this was a time where we went up and visited and just fellowshipped. But Michael is the one on the far left, and he will be speaking a blessing over you now.
Greetings and blessings to my brothers and sisters in Ketchikan, Alaska. God's word says that you are blessed. Blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Numbers 6, 24 through 26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Never again will he allow poverty and lack to control your life. For your God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. Never again will you lack, for you have plenty. Never again will you be poor. For the Lord became poor that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Never again will you allow fear to stop you from giving. Never again will you allow doubt and unbelief to stop you from believing in the promises of God. Never again will the enemy hold back your blessings. Never again will you be weak, for you are strong. Never means never. Psalms 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves you, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, bless your people in Ketchikan. Pour out your blessing upon each one. Pour out your praise. Pour out your grace. Pour out your peace so that your glory will shine upon this place this week and forevermore. Let everything that has breath bless the Lord.